We have a great fellowship on Sunday evenings, don't we? Sometimes I'll talk to some preacher friends. They'll say, "You still have church on Sunday night?" And I say, "Boy, if they would stop coming, I'd stop coming too. But they just keep showing up." So I appreciate your faithfulness. Don't you appreciate Angela Lee and her our children choir leadership? Those kids for the rest of their life are going to be able to say, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth." Isn't that a great thing to plant in their hearts and minds? That song that James led us in, "Father, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Spirit, I..." That brought a flashback to me. The first time I ever heard that song was in February of 1984. I was a freshman in college. God had called me to preach. And the campus minister at OBU took me with him to go out to First Baptist Church of Woodward. And we got up early one Sunday morning and drove out there. And Dr. Agee, the president of OBU, was going to preach that morning. And he was going to do something with the high school students. And I was going to teach Sunday school to the junior high kids. And all the way out there, we listened to that cassette tape over and over and over again. At first I thought, this is the most corny, boring little song I've ever heard. But by the time we got out there, I was just singing along with him. In fact, that was the third time I ever preached out there, because that afternoon, this, by the way, doesn't have anything to do with the sermon, but that afternoon there was some kind of OBU reception. And, you know, I was 18 years old, wasn't paying attention to what was going on. The next thing I knew, Bob Agee calls me over, and he's got the pastor of First Baptist Church, Moreland, next to him. And he introduced him, I can't even remember his name, but he introduced him and said, "Hans, you're going to go preach for him tonight." I said, "Well, Dr. Agee, I've just preached one other time. I'm not prepared." He said, "Well, you taught Sunday school this morning, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Preach that. That'll be okay." And it was okay. That's about all it was. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to skip a few verses from this morning. We're going to skip verse 16, 17, and 18. I'm going to return to that on Sunday morning. This evening we're going to take a look at verses 19 through 22. Before we look at the text, let me remind you of your little background. Remember that when John the Baptist came preparing the way for Jesus the Messiah, calling the people to repent, to prepare their hearts and their lives to receive the Messiah, one of the things that he used to say to those crowds flocking out to be baptized by him in the Jordan River is, "I baptize you with water, but the Messiah is coming, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." You remember that? And that image, that idea of fire, of the Holy Spirit as fire, is something that the church held on to. And it surfaces again in the New Testament. And one of the places it surfaces is the text we'll look at tonight. The Apostle Paul thought of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, in the life of the church, as a fire burning. And we see that as we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 through 22. Now, this is going to be very simple. We're going to read the text a couple of times. I'm going to make some comments. We'll try to draw a little application. And since the time's changed and you're not used to it being dark when you get out of church, I'll try to let you out just a little bit early. But notice how he has the idea of the Holy Spirit as fire. "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. That's the verse that the old King James reads, every appearance of evil, every form, every type of evil. Now, depending on your background in church, your experience in public worship in church, you react to this text in a number of different ways. And it's our tendency to quickly begin to try to synthesize, to put together this material with what we've heard in 1 Corinthians and what other places in the New Testament teach us about charismatic gifts. But this morning, what I want us to do is to be careful to let this simple text speak for itself, because it has something important to say to us. And so let's just read the text again. In fact, I have a kind of a diagram, I think. Do you have one more slide loaded there? Is that all you have? Oh, there it is. All right, here's kind of how the text actually lays out. The Spirit, do not quench. Prophecies, do not despise. But test all things. Hold fast to the good. Avoid every evil form. Every form of evil. Let's just leave that slide right where it is, and let's just take those phrase by phrase. First, Paul gives a command, do not quench the Spirit. And there's that image of fire, right? That the Holy Spirit is like a fire who brings purity and power and spreading influence to the body of Christ. He purifies us. He empowers us. He sends us into the nations with the gospel. The Holy Spirit is alive and at work in your life and the life of the church. And Paul says, do not quench the Spirit. In buildings today, we build them with a system that's designed so that if there's any indication of fire, the fire suppression system will come on and put the fire out. This image of do not quench the Spirit is a declaration, a command to not suppress the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a fire who burns in your life and in the life of the church. Do not suppress that fire as He works to purify, to empower, and to broaden the influence of the church. Let Him burn. Do not quench the Spirit. And then the next commandment, prophecies do not despise. Now, Paul here is giving us a specific example of quenching the Spirit. One of the ways that the Spirit of God, purifying, empowering, spreading His influence, can be suppressed is to despise prophecies. Now notice, Paul here is not talking about prophets. He's not talking about an office, a title, a position in the church. He's talking about prophecies. And one of the difficulties in understanding this text is that this idea of a prophecy is something that has been defined and understood in dozens of different ways. And so people have different understandings of what is a prophecy. Well, it's a mistake in this context to hear prophecy and think that somebody telling the future. It's also a mistake in this context to hear prophecies and think of someone speaking with the authority of Scripture, with a final authority. I think it's best to understand Paul talking about prophecies as the declaration of the mind of God in the power of the Spirit. Someone speaking the mind of God to the church in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we'll see later, that's a message that's regulated by the body. So prophecy is an intelligible message spoken whose content is from the Lord. And Paul says, don't, church, don't despise that kind of message. Despise is to reject disdainfully, to look down your nose, to cast it aside. And this eye of despising, of suppressing the Spirit, of despising prophecy, it might be a reference to a person who has a message and is forbidden to speak it. It might also be a reference to a person who has a message and they refuse to speak it. Like Jeremiah, who said, I tried not to speak the message God put on my heart, but it burned in me like a fire in my bones. But Paul says, don't quench the Spirit, don't despise prophecies. Now, the problem we have in understanding this short little compressed text is we have little, almost no indication of how this happened in Thessalonica. What their services of worship were like, if this speaking a word of prophecy, a message from the Lord, was something done in public worship or privately in a smaller group, how that played out, we don't have any indication. But the message here in the first part of our text is that as a church, we want to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through God's people to God's people. And we believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to God's people through God's people. He speaks to us. He still speaks to us. Now, obviously, this kind of prophecy lends itself to abuse. Right? Some of you have lived through that kind of abuse. It lends itself to selfish manipulation. And so we find the Apostle Paul here in a bind. You can sense it in the text. He doesn't want this prophecy to be abused, but he doesn't want to completely eliminate the fact that the Spirit of God can speak to the people of God through the people of God. And so he offers this balance. He feels compelled to quickly balance. And after saying, the Spirit do not quench, prophecies do not despise, but, he says, he starts to sound like a Baptist preacher, right? But, he begins to qualify. But, test all things. But is a hard contrast here. And Paul is simply saying that the commandment to not quench the Holy Spirit is not a call to accept every message that begins with the Holy Spirit has laid this on my heart. In other words, Paul is saying you have a capacity to be open to the Holy Spirit's moving and speaking to and through the body without being gullible. But test, examine, Paul says, everything. This word test, examine, is the same word used in Luke chapter 14, verse 19. It talks about a man who's buying a new team of oxen and he wants to go out and test them. He wants to carefully evaluate them. Carefully evaluate all things. Don't accept without any filter what anybody says, Paul says. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. That's interesting. This phrase is interesting because the good is singular, but the evil is plural. The good is singular, but evil has multiple forms. test everything, determine what's good and what's evil. The church fathers, the early church fathers for the first two or three centuries of the church, beginning with Clement of Alexandria, used to challenge the church to become approved money changers. And what they meant by that in its context was that the role of the church, of the body, is similar to the role of somebody exchanging money. In that, you must become proficient at distinguishing between what is true and what is counterfeit. Don't accept the counterfeit. Become good at that. And this is what Paul is calling us to. Well, how does that work? How can we tell? Again, this is condensed truth. Paul doesn't give us a lot of parameters for judging between good and evil other than good and evil. But what we do find, if you just turn the page in 2 Corinthians, is an example. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll get to this after the first of the year. But let me just give you a preview here. In 2 Thessalonians, somebody was making fun of me for talking about purple people this morning in the 11 o'clock service. So compared to that, this is a minor mistake. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 1 and 2. Paul says, "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come." Here's a real life example. Somebody says to the church through a letter or through spoken form, "The Holy Spirit has shown me that Jesus has already come." Paul says, don't let that shake you. In fact, look at what he says in verse 5. "Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things?" Paul says, remember what I taught you. And look at verse 15. "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us." And so let me just suggest to you that to examine everything you hear and hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil, we lean on a few certainties. One is the Holy Spirit guides us into truth. And the same Holy Spirit that someone might claim when he says, "God's laid this on my heart," the Holy Spirit guides you to listen and discern. And you can have confidence. And some of you know how, having been trained in the Word and growing in your relationship with Christ, you hear somebody say something and you just have a sense that doesn't seem right to me. I don't think that's accurate. That's not true. The Holy Spirit guides us in truth. The second thing that we can affirm is that the body protects us from falsehood. And Paul here is talking to the church together corporately. And so you as a body, when you hear something, examine it. And keep what is good and don't have what is evil. And this is why it's so important that you primarily receive your instruction in a congregational setting. This is why you're so vulnerable if the primary teaching or preaching that you listen to comes to you through some media where you're just hearing it direct. Let me tell you, you may not recognize this, but one of the main reasons why you're blessed to be a member of Quail Springs Baptist Church is if I stand up here and start saying something that's nonsense, you're surrounded by people that will challenge me. So the body examines what they hear. They keep what is good, and they get rid of what's evil. It's one of the great things about the amen, right? That's part of what you're saying. And if you ever hear me say something that you don't think's right, say, slow down, preacher. Wait a minute. Think about that. So the Spirit guides you in truth and the body guides you in truth. And finally, we want to recognize the authority of Scripture. Paul hints at it there in 2 Thessalonians. And we realize that the New Testament canon has yet to be formed. This is just 20 years after the resurrection of Christ here in 1 Thessalonians. And one of the big differences between the church at Thessalonica and our church today is we have the authoritative canon of the New Testament to guide us in the truth, to be our filter that we use to measure and sort through what is good and what is evil. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but examine everything. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So, in summary, God still speaks to His church by the Spirit through His people. We still believe this. God speaks to us. Second, God gives the church a capacity to discern the truth. He gives that to you individually, and He especially gives that to us corporately. We don't have to, we never should accept everything we hear. Swallow everything whole. We want to be active listeners who discern the truth, especially with the filter of Holy Scripture. And then let me say, just not directly related to this text, but indirectly, that when you think about the commandment, quench not the Spirit, can I suggest to you the one way this week that you are most likely to quench the Spirit? Most of us, I venture to say, do this nearly every day. We quench the Spirit by refusing to speak the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to people who need to hear it. Let me tell you what you always know about the Holy Spirit. He purifies, He empowers, and He pushes us to spread the influence of the gospel. We receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us so that we might be witnesses. And the chief way that you and I quench the Spirit is when He nudges us to speak to somebody about the blessed Lord Jesus, and we stay silent. Quench not the Spirit. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your gift of the Holy Spirit, who purifies us and empowers us, who gives us life and spreads the influence of Your kingdom. I pray, Holy Spirit, that we would always be sensitive to Your voice, that You'd speak to us and we'd have ears to hear. I pray, Father, that we would be a wise and discerning people, who are able to efficiently examine everything, abstain from what is evil, and hold fast to what is good. I thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters here tonight who help us in that regard. Protect us from evil. Help us to always be a people who proclaim and embrace the truth. And Father, I pray that even this week, as we go through our days, that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes, that you would nudge us to speak the gospel, that as you do, we'd not quench the Spirit, but we'd share your truth and power. Now let's continue a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to close our service tonight by singing a song that is a prayer, an invitation to the Holy Spirit, breathe on me. The Holy Spirit who still speaks and empowers and directs His church. And we're going to sing this hymn together and then we'll be dismissed. You may need to come with a public response. The altar's open for prayer. Ministers are here if you need to come. Let's worship the Lord and open our hearts and lives to Him with this song before we leave and begin our week together. Let's stand and sing.